We'll move on. 22, Upland Game Bird Outlook.
Good afternoon. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Just my camera a little bit. Good afternoon, or sorry, it's not afternoon, it's Friday morning. Good morning, members of the commission, Secretary Roebling, Alex Solom, Senior Wildlife Biologist located out of the Huron office for Game and Fish. I am going to go over our upland update for pheasants and prairie grouse. Our seasons are just around the corner here, so just kind of prepping folks for what to expect in the season. And all that sort of stuff. I know a lot of people are getting excited. There's a lot of Pheasants Forever posts, Game and Fish posts, kind of prepping people for grouse opener here in a couple weeks, and then obviously the third weekend in October for pheasant season. So we'll get rolling right into it. All right. So just to recap the 2024 to 2025 season, we had a phenomenal year for pheasants and prairie grouse. Our pheasant harvest was 1.3 million pheasants, throughout the state. Again, we do this through harvest surveys where we survey roughly 15,000 non-residents and 15,000 residents, send them an email link to our Survey123 apps where we survey them for county of harvest, time of harvest, how many birds they harvested. That way it gives us a good idea of what hunter effort is, birds per hunter, all that sort of thing. Again, this harvest estimate does not include or pen raised birds that are released at preserves. That is a separate license. So therefore those folks aren't surveyed for these this actual harvest estimate. That is a separate value that is roughly 400,000. And it's in addition to this 1.3 million roosters. Our prairie grouse harvest was almost 99,000 prairie grouse. This includes both sharp-tailed grouse and prairie chickens. It is the highest it's been in roughly, I think, 20 years, if I can remember right. Just phenomenal years talking with hunters, non-residents and residents alike. Great season for them. They saw a lot of birds, were able to harvest a lot of birds. Our birds per hunter was super high for both species, or for both pheasants and prairie grouse. So it was just a phenomenal year, and we're really looking forward to this year. I should remind you as well, our prairie grouse season last year was the first year that we actually had that extended season to January 31st. So it did provide a little bit of extra opportunity for folks out there that are pursuing prairie grouse while they're pheasant hunting in areas where they overlap, kind of around that central South Dakota area. However, I do want to point out that our birds per hunter and our hunter effort were roughly about the same as it was in 2023, 2024. So having that extra 22 days of the season in January, didn't necessarily, it wasn't the sole reason why we harvested more prairie grouse. There had to have been more grouse out there because our birds per hunter, effort was, higher, compared to 2023, but folks generally hunted about the same number of days. So they're able to go out there and harvest more grouse in the same number of days, even though the season was longer. Give you kind of a look at our upland outlook. This was sent in an email blast, I believe last week. Nick Harrington and his shop took care of this. Myself and my counterpart, Jake Wolf, worked with Chris Hull and Nick Harrington to develop this Upland Outlook. Essentially what it is, it's a document that we put it together, kind of piecing together all the science that we have and data that we have to kind of give a good outlook on what the season's going to hold. We do a few summaries of what last season was, looking at harvest, looking at trends, that sort of thing. Gives everybody kind of a look into when the season dates are, what the season date structure is, license fees, all that sort of thing. So it's geared towards the pheasant hunter to kind of prep him into, or prep them, I should say, into getting ready for the fall, getting ready for both prairie grouse and pheasant season. So One of the big things that we do talk about with this upland outlook has a lot to do with the weather. It's not just in coffee shops with farmers at elevators and things like that. Us biologists also look at weather a lot when it comes to upland game species and how their reproduction's going to be. Weather is obviously a very major factor when it comes to interannual variation in abundance. So from the bird numbers from one year to the next, it influences overwinter survival. It influences our nest success on a yearly basis. And one of the most important factors is it also influences our bird survival, or our brood survival, excuse me. However, I would be remiss to say that, even though weather can change from one year to the next, that's something that's essentially out of our control. We just kind of have to cross our fingers sometimes and hope for the best. However, putting adequate habitat out there in the right places with the right types of habitat, that's what produces our long-term trends with our abundance numbers, or with our abundance of both prairie grouse and pheasants. And in addition to this, putting the right habitat in the right areas at the right time of year or for the specific time of the year, obviously mitigates any type of these weather events. If you have a really hard winter, obviously your survival is going to be lower with pheasant numbers and prairie grouse. But if you have good, adequate winter cover out there that you've, put into place, it helps mitigate that, potential damage that's going to happen with our overall survival. So in particular, looking at analysis that we did about 4 or 5 years ago, looking at some historic data, we know for pheasant production, cumulative snowfall from November to March, has a negative impact on pheasant abundance. So essentially, the less snow we get from November to March, cumulatively, the more pheasants that we're going to have available for the nesting season. And we can see a particular increase in abundance based on that value. The other two variables are April and May precipitation and April and May temperature. We have a quadratic for April and May precipitation. Obviously, too small or too minimal of precipitation. We're kind of headed into that drought, which obviously affects the cover for nesting and brood rearing. But if you get too wet, we're talking about drowning out nests, and that's usually associated with cool temperatures. So, as a pheasant biologist, we're really crossing our fingers that we don't get a cool, wet spring where we would really like, just average temperatures, average rainfall, get that grass growing, get the cover growing, available for nesting cover as well as brood rearing habitat. Getting into the actual outlook and what we experienced in South Dakota, we've had excellent habitat conditions, excellent weather conditions, throughout much of the primary pheasant range. We obviously did have some severe weather, kind of in northeast South Dakota, a little bit in central South Dakota. But a lot of the times those severe weather, quote unquote, outbreaks are very limited in where it happens. I mean, most of the folks that know about hailstorms and things, they can actually hail on one side of the fence compared to the other. So the damage that comes from hailstorms, high winds, tornadoes, that sort of thing, super localized in nature, doesn't have a dramatic impact on what the local population is, unless it's a widespread hailstorm or really widespread tornado pathway. We experienced obviously very low, below average snowfall. We're talking places such as here and where I'm located, where we had roughly 12 to 15 inches of snow. That's about 20, 25 inches below our average. So obviously with those no lower snowfall, it allows those birds to go out and forage and get the food resources that they need to, stay warm, and then be into or have good body condition going into the nesting season. Talking with field staff, folks that work on our GPAs, myself driving around doing projects and that sort of thing, and particular landowners, because we can get a really widespread view of what pheasant production actually is by just talking to folks, even at the state fair that we had the last week. We've had excellent reports from field staff. We're talking large brood numbers, five, six, seven, eight chicks, which is obviously great to see. It means we had really good habitat conditions for brood survival at a variety of ages, which means that our hens were in good enough condition to do repeat nest attempts when their nests were predated. Obviously we get a whole gamut of anywhere from 2-week-old chicks this time of year into August to 12-week-old chicks when our peak hatch is in mid-June. So seeing that wide variety of brood ages, as a biologist, it shows me that the habitat conditions were good enough and the weather was good enough that even though it might have gotten predated, that these hens are still trying to produce a successful nest, and that sort of thing. And a lot of guys, are, giving me reports, whether it be texts, emails, calls, saying that they're seeing just a ton of broods on the landscape, and they're really looking forward to this upcoming fall. Looking at prairie grouse in particular, we do a same type of analysis. We did a similar type of analysis that we did with our pheasants. However, we did look at it a little bit different. We collect wings on the Fort Pierre National Grassland and in portions of western South Dakota. We were able to age these wings, the adult versus juvenile. So we know essentially what production is for that year. The more juvenile wings we have, the higher production. More adult wings we have, based on that juvenile ratio, means production was a little bit limited. We were able to do again the same type of analysis and look at weather variables to determine what production was. For this net analysis in particular, June days hot is our main predictor of what prairie grouse predict or pr prairie grouse production is going to be like. And June days hot generally correlates with the drought. So we use our drought index for the state kind of in that June to July time frame to determine essentially how good our grouse production is going to be. As you can look on the map, there were certain portions of the state that did have, what we consider moderate drought. Not all of them are within prairie grouse range. There are some areas that are kind of right on the fringe. However, some of them are abnormally dry, but with responsible grazing, timely rains, all that sort of stuff, it doesn't necessarily mean that production for the grasslands that these birds nest in are going to be hampered at all. It's definitely an assumption on our part, but timely rains, effective management, all that sort of thing can really kind of help mitigate these just dry conditions. But overall, drought conditions in the state are looking really good, in a vast majority of the prairie grouse range. So we're expecting some very good production, for prairie grouse for, the opener here in, I think, 3 weekends or 2 to 3 weekends. So yeah, that again, I've had a lot of reports from landowners, GPA managers driving around doing habitat projects on our GPAs, seeing they've been seeing a phenomenal number of prairie grouse broods out there. So again, it's looking to be a really good fall for opener here in a couple weeks. Again, in our outlook, we do get into lek counts. So leks are locations on the landscape where birds essentially go every spring to mate. The males will dance and display for the females. Females will choose their mate and then essentially mate and then go nest within a couple miles of these leks. They're not a super great indicator of, what production is going to be like for the following fall. Obviously, there's a lot of things that can happen during the nesting and brood rearing season. We got into those weather variables. However, it gives us a really good idea of what overwinter survival was and the number of hens that are going to go into the following nesting season and be available to hopefully produce a successful clutch. We do a prairie grouse lek survey on the Fort Pierre National Grasslands, and we also coordinate with the Forest Service on the Fort Pierre National Grasslands to kind of monitor what their abundance is. Fort Pierre National Grasslands this year actually had record highs, highest grouse numbers they've ever counted for prairie chickens during these counts. That includes total number of leks and then total number of birds on the leks. So having 2 mild winters in a row into this spring really kind of help that winter carry over for birds because, they have relatively low annual survival. So having a mild winter, definitely helps with their overall survival. Again, looking at the current summer and, the current and summer habitat conditions, it should lead to an excellent season. We've had very minimal drought conditions in much of the prairie grouse range. We have a super timely rains to get that grass growing. And I know if you drive most places in western South Dakota, you can see all the forage available that's in these pastures and things like that. And that is all cover for these grouse to nest in, to do brood rearing in, and also good holding cover for folks to focus on for the fall when they're pursuing these critters. And with that, I can take any questions.
Questions from the commission? Comments? Looks like a great report. We should have some happy folks come October. Seeing none, Alex, thank you. Good information for a lot of folks.